Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Kazumatsu.org Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. Today we're here with episode 4, Moment of Earnest. Joining us today we have Yerian for the first time on the Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. Why don't you introduce yourself, man?
Hey guys, I'm from the Midwest, United States. I'm going to say my favorite key work is Little Busters, and my favorite character is Kyosuke from Little Busters, with an asterisk that Angel Beats might change both of those soon.
Everyone loves Little Busters here. You're here to give us a little recap of this episode, aren't you, mate?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Alright, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, we start off our morning with some delicious lolly French toast. Yusa works her magic at school. Jojiro freaks out, surprising absolutely no one. Then, in a classic Maeda twist, we head for the park for some baseball, and more baseball. In fact, we play baseball for 20 more minutes. Then, after a Deus Ex Machina win by Hoshino Umi, Nao performs a secret experiment, and we return home for some delicious lolly curry.
you fit under the 30-second mark easily. Good job. Yeah, this is probably going to be a short episode, because as we just mentioned, it's not a lot to talk about. It's kind of filler, I think we can mostly agree on, yeah?
That's my impression. Mostly.
What do you think this is more or less filler, Biscuito?
Mixed opinions. I would say it's easy viewing, but I think that there's some value in there.
I think if you look closely, there's little bits that you can pick up on the characters.
There's little bits you can pick up, and, like, generally speaking, it wasn't necessarily horrible to watch. Like, I had fun watching it, and I was just kind of like, alright, that happened. Like, it put me in a good mood, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't bad. I didn't regret spending that 30 minutes.
And it was nice. I have the same opinion.
It was nice enough to make me be like, alright, what's next, you know?
Yeah, like, just because there's not a lot to talk about and analyze doesn't mean it was a bad episode. Like, that's what a lot of people are saying. Like, oh, this episode, like, accomplished nothing. Like, a lot of people were quite angry about it. And I'm just like, really? Like, I thought it was a lot better than the last episode, which just had no direction. This one had direction, it just was slow. Like, it knew where it was going. It just
kind of weird
getting there.
Like, the last episode wasn't really paced all that great, but had a lot of content. And then this episode was paced really well, but didn't really have all that much content.
Yeah, it's kind of the inverse problem.
It's kind of jarring, I guess.
There'd probably be a lot less complaining if we didn't have to, like, everyone wasn't so excited for the next episode, but we have to wait a whole other week. And
yeah, well, that's the thing with, you know, watching a new anime, is you're going to get people getting super critical about little episodes like this, but perhaps if you watched it all in one sitting, it wouldn't be as much of a downside.
Right, I'm guessing we'll look back at this episode and just think of it as part of the first half.
Yeah, definitely. This is still the calm before the storm, like I keep saying. Episode 6 is where it's all going to happen. But, you know, we're just waiting for that to happen at the moment. But that said, I still didn't hate this episode. You know, I thought it was pleasant. It was funny. It was good. Quite a few laughs out of it. But can we just take a moment to acknowledge how much the forum exploded over this one episode? Like, how many posts it got? And
yeah.
130 posts we got on the forum for this one episode. And we didn't talk about a whole lot. Somehow.
It was like an argument between, like, did something happen or did nothing happen?
I feel partly responsible because after I watched it, I went in there and I was just kind of like, I'll see you guys on the podcast. I don't know what to say right now. I think some people kind of just took that the wrong way.
No, I was literally just like, guys, can we, like, stop repeating the same points over and over and over in this circle jerk? That, like, 70 posts of the same people saying the same thing is just, oh my god, come on guys.
I mean, looking at it, you know, moving forward, is you have people who are just kind of along for the ride, some people looking at it really critically, and then some people who just, like, are so far down there that this show really needs to do something impeccable the next few episodes to bring them back, probably. But as far as we could tell, everyone is still watching. Everyone's still watching, so I guess that's good.
At least in our community.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's have a little discussion about this. Do you think filler serves an adequate purpose in, like, this series? Because that's kind of a point of contention on the forum. Is this episode necessary for a 13-episode series?
I would say that I think it does. I'd say I think it does because we're still in this comfort zone, whereas most people who are watching that are aware of how Key works and what Maida wants to do know that something is coming, so it becomes a little bit less interesting, so they're just kind of like, it's like air, right, where people are just like, well, why would I want to do these routes whenever I want to get to the end, right? Whereas this is like, why do I want to have this filler when I want to get to the good stuff? And it's just like, well, you have to be patient, right? So, like, I feel like people who know that things are coming are probably just impatient and upset that, like, ah, oh, we're wasting time, we've only got this many episodes. And I mean, I think that's justifiable and it's expected. And then on the other side, it's a nice development. So people who are watching this that don't know what's coming will be that much more surprised after episodes that are like, it's very slice of lifey and just kind of like comfortable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So
that's
when
a good
things
point, actually.
When things flip over, it's gonna be like, oh, holy shit, you know?
Yeah, like it's almost like it's written for people that aren't familiar with Key stuff. Yeah, that's a very interesting way of thinking about it because, you know, as Kazumatsu.org is a community of Key fans, like almost entirely, we know what to expect and we know all the tropes and we're familiar with all this stuff. So it kind of feels like, yeah, a lot of us are just like, you know, come on, get to the good
that's
stuff.
That's why I like, say that I think that's exactly like who Maida was addressing and what he meant by saying, like, just wait. Just wait, you guys. Just be along for the ride and you won't be disappointed, I guess is what he was going for. But that is yet to be seen, so we're just going to have to keep on watching and see what happens.
But, you know, assuming there is some huge shock, then that's going to hit the viewers who, like, don't know anything about Key or Charlotte going in. That'll hit them hard, probably. It's like, I won't say names for series, but I've watched certain series where it's like, you know, I'm just on for like a casual, not casual, just a very like, easygoing slice of life series, a bit of comedy, and then shit hits a fan. I'm like, wait, what? That feeling is good. And I'm not going to get that because I already know what's happening, but I can imagine that people who don't know what's happening will still be able to have that experience. So I guess that kind of justifies having episodes like this where it's just fun and games.
I mean, I just, that's just my opinion from, like, I follow a few people who aren't big into Key that just generally watch anime, and, like, they're familiar with, like, the kinds of stories that PA Works does, and, like, they're interested in Charlotte, and they're watching it so far, and they're just like, yeah, this is enjoyable, but, like, they don't know what's coming. Oh, I mean, we don't either, but there are still people, at least, that I follow. I mean, I don't follow a lot of people, but they're watching.
Okay, that's reassuring. But, I guess we need to address the inverse of this argument is that there is only 13 episodes, and having one episode is like, well, it was 13th of the series. That's what, 8-7%, something like that, I don't know.
A substantial amount.
Yeah, a lot. And if you're spending that much time, you know, not doing anything with your characters that much, it does, I can see why people feel a little bit cheated, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was worried about at first, just when I first watched it, like, not much really happening, and we don't have much time. But after rewatching it, I think I got a little bit more out of the complexities of the character interactions, and thinking that it could actually be pushing it towards the end goal more than I was originally thinking.
You know, we can only speculate at this point because we don't know what the end goal is, but, you know, it's definitely important to keep these things in mind, that this episode could, in hindsight, serve an important purpose, and we just don't see it yet.
So, like, I just thought it was really interesting how, you know, we had our next monster of the week, right, who was Arafumi, was that his name? And then, like, I don't even remember what the catcher's name was. But, like...
Sorry.
So, the episodes so far have been very varying in how... They've been kind of, like, talking about a lot of facets of adolescence. And let me explain. Mm-hmm. So, like, the first dude we got... I guess the first group we got was, like, our council, right? And they're kind of like the heroes. Mm-hmm. And... Then you had the Kengo guy.
Technically, you was the monster of the week.
Yeah. I guess that's true. And he's kind of, you know, he's like your egotistical boy, which is pretty common. He's just kind of not really enjoyable at first, you know?
Taking advantage of his powers for his own greed.
Yeah, he's very greedy and stuff like that. And then you had, you know, Nao and Jojiro, which we don't know too much about them just yet. I guess Nao is kind of like your... She's kind of reclusive or kind of introverted, seemingly.
We know more about Nao than we do about...
Yeah, Jojiro is definitely kind of the oddball. I mean, he's... And Jojiro. He's also kind of... I guess Jojiro is kind of outgoing. And he's very open to talk about what he's passionate about, like Yusa. But then you had more to the monsters of the week, though, is like you had Kengo, who's kind of shady, right? Doing kind of funky stuff to make ends meet, you know, because apparently his family's in trouble or whatever. And then you had Yusa and Misa. It's kind of like Yusa's power and stuff is like a love thing, and then Misa is kind of wild energy, right? People keep talking about, like, what the hell is Misa's power? Why is it fire and stuff? And the thing that I thought of was, like, a fire is very hard to control, right? It's just, explosive energy. That's what I thought about with Misa, because she's, like, the free spirit.
Absolutely.
Now, with Arafumi, he's kind of savvy, right? So, like, he's still cheating in baseball, but, like, for the sake of his friend's talent, like, the whole point of his power, right, is that his friend was a really freaking good catcher, and he wanted to show, like, holy shit, this dude can really catch ball. So he's trying to make his friend look really good and carry his friend really far, right? Mm-hmm. So, like...
Yeah. Friendship.
I think that's actually been kind of a really cool usage of, like, their Monsters of the Week, because it's been kind of been going all over the place about what different kind of motivations and things there are in people at this age.
Yeah, like, it's different... Yves trying to find their own, like, way in life, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty
interesting. I definitely see the adolescence themes.
I see your point. Like, I wonder what our next monster of the week is and what he's going to bring to the table, because... Yeah, we still haven't hit the real drama surrounding our characters yet, but I'm sure adolescence will be a very central theme to it.
So there was one scene that I think... Naoki Satin brought up where Nao is about to go up to bat, and she thrusts her camera at you and tells him that he's going to have to figure out how to deal with the situation without using his power. And she says he needs to face the situation head on.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's an interesting scene, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like what this episode was trying to portray about Yu is that he's very conflicted. Like just mm-hmm. earlier, he had said, "I don't want to. Why do I have to use my power on this silly game?" Mm-hmm. But then he was like, "What am I supposed to do if I don't use my power?" And then after they win. He's like, oh, I'm so glad we won, but then he's like, well, am I so happy?
Yeah, why am I so
happy?
It's
almost like it's almost like Nao is teaching him to, you know, be, be proud of something that he did
without, right, what I, without being right, cheap. Exactly. That's something he's
accomplishing
never done.
Something on his own.
Right, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Isn't it interesting that Nao is kind of like, we know like her main mission is to save people with superpowers, but what if like she's, it almost feels like she's taking people under her wing, trying to help the people in the council to experience a better youth than they otherwise would have alone. Mm-hmm. It's like she's actually actively trying to help their development.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's never really stated.
It could also be that she cares about you.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said that...
It could be specific.
On the forum that I thought that she was... She picked you and Jojiro and Yusa / Misa because to work with her, not just because she thought their powers would be useful, but because she liked their personalities. She wanted to...
She wanted to make friends. Right. Wouldn't that be interesting? We never know with Nao. Like, she keeps all her feelings to herself. So, like, yeah, maybe she is lonely. Maybe she just wanted a group of friends to hang out with. That would be another interpretation of everything that's going on. Interesting.
Could also just be something specific that that super amazing superhero that runs the school that gave her the ability to do something with her life. Maybe it's something that she wanted, so it was set up specifically for her. Like, it was, I know this is what you want to do. Yeah.
Is this your conspiracy theory?
Sure.
But there was also the fact that Nao trusted you with her camera.
Yeah, I think that's a good development. And like
that was what Nick picked up.
The way that she actually like says that to him, you know, to face the situation head on, and by giving her the camera and to like try to figure it out himself, it's basically just like she just put him in her shoes, like see what I do every day, you know.
I mean, and she was like entrusting not just her camera but the whole game. You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
This episode served as a pretty good development of you. I mean, we could talk about like Yusa and stuff too, but which was just kind of really fun more than anything.
Yeah,
but I feel like the Nao and the you department was pretty heavy this episode.
Yes, I definitely
agree. Especially with that hug.
Like, I still don't know what was going on there, but I'm very intrigued. Like, I hope it builds up to some interesting, like, development.
I mean, but looking at it at face value, I saw a whole lot of people who kept, you know, asking the question of, well, why'd she ask him to do that, and what happened, and stuff, and I'm just kind of like, so, he did the thing where he used his power, and he passed out. We don't see anything about the actual, like, body jacking going on here.
Yeah, and we
cut right back into the scene where he's being embraced by Nao, more or less, who caught him. And it's like, oh, she caught him, right? And he's like, ah! He freaks out. He's like, what did you do that for? And she just says, oh. She asks him, or he asks her, how did the experiment go? And she says, oh, I don't know. Just seeing how it goes for Nao.
Lots of people.
I don't know.
Lots of
people I were think Nao that, has a thing for you.
Lots of people were saying that, like, something must have happened, and that's why, like, something unusual, and that's why we didn't see it. But to me, the way you reacted and the way the picture reacted,
she wasn't using her camera to record anything. She wasn't looking at what happened. She was holding the dude. You didn't even see anything that happened.
She's a very weird one.
Yeah.
You may be right. I honestly don't know what to make of the situation yet.
I don't think we're supposed to, honestly.
I didn't particularly want much of a romance in this show, but I think it's where it's going.
It probably is.
I'm pretty sure she just wanted to hug him. Because she probably doesn't get to hug people very often.
Oh. A quick aside, Biz, did you want to talk about that Yusa Misa thing?
Yeah, well, there was just...
We're running out of time.
There was a little bit of discussion about how they took... This is going back. They took Misa into their group, obviously, right? And while she didn't really use... None of the powers really happened other than Misa kind of taking over to play baseball because Yusa's probably pretty useless at it. Basically, I would say that, you know, Misa's power does kind of have some usefulness because, okay, so in the previous episode, freaking Jojiro totally basically kind of almost killed that guy, and it was pretty intense. So, if they were to, say, take Misa, who we know can start fires and make them disappear in an instant, she could just kind of, like, light someone on fire for a second and then not have them be on fire, and that would stop them pretty fast. It's pretty useful.
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess the interesting point of, like, the love power that Yusa has.
Yeah, her magic spells.
Yeah. And how that's helping out the council.
Yeah.
A lot of people took notice.
Yeah, now it just runs her mouth, and then she just, like, Yusa, take care of this.
I do like the idea of now taking Yusa and just to be something kind of to look at to distract people every now and then.
Yeah.
Where she's just like, she goes and meets baseball dude, and she's just like, don't pay attention to her for now. We're not using her at the moment.
Wow. All right, let's gonna start wrapping this up. Let's gonna start. So, any last predictions you'd want to make before we wrap this up?
I'm still waiting for the Brotherhood to show up.
The Brotherhood.
There has to be. I mean, it's in the OP. There's got to be a contrasting team of power holders in this series, and they've got to show up eventually. Maybe episode 6, I don't know, but I think they're coming. And that would make a nice shift where you have, like, oh, these super happy, fun friends are having a good time, and then you have, like, kind of the hardcore power users need to pop up. I think that would be pretty cool. And then...
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
The other thing is, man, Ayumi ruined the end of the episode again. She's so gonna disappear. She's so gonna disappear! If it's in episode 5, at the end of the episode 5, I don't know. But she's going away. It's gonna happen. Yeah. And for the people saying, well, maybe there's... That kind of ruins the idea of the school being evil, because why would someone come to the school and steal her? She's living right there! They can just show up at any time and take her away. I think it's pretty useful, actually. They got her right where
always
they want.
Always watching. Well, last podcast, someone said, like, asked if the people have had these powers before, or if, like, Nao's brother was first one to have... I don't know, that's kind of what they implied, but... and then Boei was talking about the comet. I'm kind of under the impression that the comet is part of what's giving them their powers. So I'm thinking, since the comet's only come around, like what, like 100 years or something like that? I think it's possible that they have had these powers before, and whatever happened, and then the government or whatever hid it all away and never found out.
That's entirely possible. Yeah. I'd say it's possible.
So what you're saying is that a couple, like 100 years ago, the comet came around and gave a bunch of people genetic powers, and then they've moved it on generation to generation until here.
Yeah, and then the comet's going to come soon and take it all away.
Or take it all away.
Yeah.
I actually, to touch back on that, because it was me that actually said that before about people having powers previously or whatever, I didn't think very hard about it, but they've talked very clearly about the fact that they know that the powers disappear at some point, which means that they have had people before at a certain age that have come in and then lost their powers later, which requires a pretty good chunk of time, so they've probably been around for a little while, yeah.
Right. Well, as long as the comet sticks around...
Alright, I think we'll wrap that up, guys. So stick around for next week. We'll have episode 5 to talk about, and I'm very excited to hear Ziendo, personally. That's my one thing. I reckon we're going to get a Ziendo ending for that episode. That's going to be my prediction, sure.
We can only hope.
Yeah, so cool, thanks for checking out this episode, and we'll see you again next week. Take care, guys. See you later.
Hora, hora, umo!